Well, thank you to all of you that have made my worship time, our worship time, meaningful. From Chuck and Scott, who come and put chairs in place and whatever else happens here in terms of furniture. And Justin, your part in amplifying what we say and how we sing. If that was my job, that would be my biggest chore for the whole day. And I wouldn't get any place with that and wouldn't do anything more. So that's beyond my gifting. Thank you for each of you being here. I think so often I get the attitude that, you know, I expect Chuck to be here, and if he isn't, I have a tendency to scold him. Really, it's that wrong attitude. I should be very grateful that each of you have come, and I'm glad that you're here. I missed worshiping at New Beginnings last Sunday, so I missed the first message on God can use even people that have an ugly past. So I think Mike talked about Gideon. Is that right? So that's going to be our theme for the next few weeks. This morning we're going to look at, well, first of all, let me ask, does anybody know anybody by the name of Rahab? Don't you have a friend Rahab, Joanne? Not yet. Why don't we use that word for a name for a new baby? And I think asking this question is really telling where we're headed this morning. Because we know Rahab is being involved in things that are kind of ugly. But do you know the rest of the story of Rahab? Well, we're going to discover that this morning if we don't. So we're going to look at the second chapter of Joshua this morning. Claire is going to read that for us. I think there's 24 verses. It's a familiar story to us. If your mind is going to drift during Claire's reading, I suggest to you that you follow along in your own Bible, or let me give you a challenge. Where in this Rahab story do you see transformation coming to Rahab? And how and why did that come? If you need something to challenge you, where did Rahab's transformation come, and what brought that? What brought that? Claire, are you ready to read?
Yes, Joshua 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, then go on your way." The men said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. And as for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us."
What a story. There's more in the Bible and in Hebrews. So I'm asking the question, how would a holy, righteous God choose Rahab to be in the hall of faith in Hebrews? Well, we're going to see. So this story happens about 1400 BC. There's some details in here. I think there could be more details, but that's okay. In the middle of this week, I thought I'd finished my message, and I looked right over it and said, "Haldeman, this isn't going anywhere. I mean, you did a pretty good job in talking about details, but what's the challenge? What about..." So I had to sit down again at my desk and pray more. Wow. So I'm not saying that I arrived at the challenge, but I hope that there'll be some challenge in this. So this story today is about two spies. We know, if we read back a few chapters before this, that there's 10 spies. So this is a different spy thing. And Joshua, the writer of this, the writer of the book of Joshua, was one of the spies, the two spies. So I thought that was interesting to me to think about that and how that relates to this. You know, some folks are defined by their occupation. Rahab the harlot. What an occupation. I think she was a run-of-the-mill streetwalker that got paid cash, as I understand harlotry. She was the kind of woman that everybody talked about, but nobody talked to. I mean, that's her reputation kind of implies that. She was on her own, but not alone in life, because the scripture tells us that she lived with her family, her father, her mother, her sisters, and her brothers. I think Rahab knew how to handle men. She knew how men thought. She knew how men behaved. She knew what men needed. I read, and this is in the Bible, that she was one of four of the most beautiful women in the world. Like, how would you like to have that title? The one of four most beautiful women in the world. Rahab's house was on the wall of Jericho. In my understanding, it was in some of the ancient cities, they had two walls to protect the city, and they were 12 to 15 feet apart. And so Rahab had logs running from one wall to another wall, and her house was on top of that arrangement. And so you get, when we talk about window repelling here, you get the idea that there could be 30 or 40 feet from her window to the ground. So, during my study, this song kept coming up to my mind. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Like, what was Rahab's family doing during that seven-day walk around? Wow, there'd been a lot of tension there. So the two spies didn't call ahead for a place to stay. There was no reservation. This place had lots of traffic, I'm sure. So questions weren't asked. The strangers came and went all hours of the day and every day of the week, probably. I kept thinking this might be a B&B, an Airbnb, Joanne, but I hate to make that association. I think it was probably more bed than breakfast, but anyway. So why are two righteous Israelite spies spending time in this location? Two righteous Israelite spies. Well, the scripture tells us that these spies were being spied upon. Somebody saw that they were coming and that they were there. And so the king of Jerusalem sent his message to Rahab. And this, I'm in verse 3. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they came to spy out the whole land. Rahab was faced with a very difficult choice. The woman had taken in these two men and hid them, and she really risked her life to hide them. And besides all that, she lied for them. Now wait, this is a woman of faith that got into the hall of faith as a liar and as a prostitute. It's getting more complicated. So this woman, this Rahab, seems to be a very resourceful woman. Verse 4 said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. She couldn't really deny the obvious, that they had been seen. But who said they signed the guest book? Verse 5, at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went, Rahab said. Quick thinking. Women are good at that, you know, Larry. They are quick thinkers. Lots of folks squeezed through the city gate around nightfall, but who noticed where they went after they exited the gate? So, I mean, she was honest. I don't know where they went. But this next verse, go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. I can imagine her kind of laughing under her breath as she told them this. She said, they went that away. Yeah, really. Yeah, right. That's one big juicy fib in my mind. They left the country. Whatever, she implied. So these men were not family. They were strangers. Why did she protect them? Verse 8 and 9. Before the spies were down for the night, the woman came up to them on the roof and said, I know that God has given you the land. Oh, wait a minute. She knows that God has given them the land. That's a key. How does she know that? I know that God has given you the land. Do you mean the God? Do you mean the true God? The God of the Israelites? Rahab, what are you thinking? God has revealed his holiness to you. A woman, an unmarried woman, a harlot. How did this all happen? She goes on to say, everyone here feels hopeless. We trembled at the news of a parting of the Red Sea. We trembled when the Israelites took out kings Sihon and Og and other kingdoms. our hearts sank. We all had the wind knocked out of us. Verse 11, and all because of you, you and God, your God, God of heaven above and God of earth below. Oh my. So long, Asherpol, so long, Baal, with Rahab. Rahab the Canaanite was not a worshiper of the true God. She had come to her senses. God is God. She probably saw the two arriving at her doorstep as divinely ordained. At New Beginnings, we call this a divine appointment. Actually, these two spies were saving her from death, not only a physical death, but a spiritual death. Wow, she recognized that. Give me a sign you will spare my family, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and families. In verse 14, our lives for your lives. If you don't tell what we are doing, when God turns the land over to us, we'll do right by you, the spy said. Trust, in this case, trust flowed in both directions. She trusted complete strangers and a new God to come and save her. We're really talking about a God-sized miracle here. As she let them down by a rope, so she let them down by a rope. So I'm taking that the window of this house on the city wall must have been some texture was that it's 40 feet off the ground. And in some ancient cities, rappelling was not legal. So they were going against some of the rules at this time. So the spies had parting instructions for her. In order to keep this oath you have made us swear by, you will have to do these things. Hang the red rope out the window to gather your entire family in this house. Anyone who goes out of the house into the street and is killed, it's his own fault. I asked my wife what color scarlet is. Do you know what it is?
You said red.
Red. It's not a pure red, though. It's the dictionary would say it was an orangish red. Does anybody have scarlet on? Okay. I didn't know. Scarlet. That's a color that really makes a statement, a scarlet. When we confess our sins, literally let them all hang out like a red scarlet cord and repent, we are washed clean, Scripture tells us, we are washed clean and forgiven. Imagine the tension in Rahab's house, filled with children and grandparents, when the children of Israel were marching around Jerusalem or Jericho, day one, and carrying the ark. Day two, like, what's going on? Day three, and day four, and day seven times around, and the walls came tumbling down. How could, in my mind, which is somewhat mechanical, how could a house stay standing on the wall when the walls came tumbling down? What does that look like? There's a hide and seek thing going on in this story as I thought about how can it make this story speak to us. I think one is that God hides, as I thought about this. The God we worship is a hidden God. You know, how many people ever saw God? Isaiah says, truly you are a God who hides himself. I think we've all experienced this. It's pretty simple. It's the hide-and-seek game. I played it with my grandchildren, and I played it with my own children. Lincoln, who some of you know, is now, 14? 15? He was maybe 7 or 8. He came and stood in front of me and said, can you see me? And his eyes were covered. So he thought he was hiding. Like, Lincoln, what part of hide and seek don't you get? When I play with my own kids, Sean would go at that very, very secretive place and hide, and he'd say, I'm ready. Like, duh, that's a giveaway. I know exactly where you are, Sean. Why did you do that way? What don't you understand about it? Anyway. So it dawned on me that maybe Grandpa and Father was the one who wasn't getting it. What does the Grandpa doesn't know about hide and seek? I think the fun comes in hide and seek and being found. The fun comes in being found. Who wants to be left alone? Who wants to be undiscovered? Does God play hard to get for the sake of being discovered? Does God play hard to get for the sake of being discovered? Interesting question. God is like a person who clears his throat while hiding and really gives himself away. He longs for us to seek after him with our heart, soul, and our mind. If God wanted to be known to every person on earth, he would not hide. So sight would replace faith, if that was the case. Our God, Isaiah says, our God hideth. God places a premium on faith. Rahab, living by faith and not by sight. There's a song that goes, and you probably know this, where the hymn writer says, you cannot hide from God, talking about us hiding and seeking. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we cannot hide from God. His eye is fixed on you. Do you know that song? You cannot hide from God. Now, not only did Rahab hide the spies, but she lied. Is it wrong for Rahab to lie in order to protect the spies? What do you think? That gets to be a lot of things involved in that answer, doesn't it? Was it wrong for Rahab to lie? Are there situations in which a lie is acceptable? Now, I got some fishing friends that say, I'll say, how was your fishing trip? And they'll say, I caught a fish this big. So I missed this part. And so why do we expand things? I mean, it's a tendency I think we all get involved with. Rahab was born and raised among depraved Canaanites for whom lying was a universal practice. Probably she saw no evil in her act. Further, if she had told the truth, the spies would have probably been killed by the king of Jericho. On the other hand, to argue that the spies would have perished if Rahab had been truthful is to ignore the option that God could have protected them in some other way. To excuse Rahab in lying is to condone what God condemns. So I'm kind of getting in that corner here. I don't know if I'm going to get out of this or not. The lie of Rahab was recorded, but not approved. In Hebrews 11, it doesn't talk about Rahab's lie. The Bible approved her faith, demonstrated by good works, but not her falsehood. How do you come to grips with Rahab's lie in light of Psalms 5, verse 6? God will destroy those who tell lies. Or Proverbs 12, 22, the Lord detests lying lips that delight in men, but delights in men who are truthful. Why are we tempted to stretch the truth? What's the motive behind that? Does the end justify the means? How do we resist chasing falsehoods? I don't know whether you keep up with the news or not these days, but my suggestion to you is forget it. I don't know how we keep track of really what is going on. I'm mixed up. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, have nothing to do with myths, foolish ideas, but rather train yourself to be godly. 2 Timothy 4, 3, time will come, this is so, what a prediction. Time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, instead will gather around teachers who itch their ears by what they want to hear. And another one from 2 Timothy 3, evil men will go from bad to worse. Well, let's talk about our sins being as scarlet. Rahab's sins were scarlet, yet washed clean by God. So the scarlet cord in this story was a symbol of her profession. As it hung there, it became something more than the hope of deliverance from war. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Or in Proverbs 31, she is not afraid of the snow for her household. This is a Proverbs 31 woman. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. That's an interesting verse. So scriptures do not really tell us how Rahab, who came out of a culture where harlotry and idolatry were acceptable, recognized Jehovah as the one true God. So there needs to be some reading between the lines in that. Why did a righteous God have Rahab as one of the Hall of Faith, in the Hall of Fame? Hebrews 11 lists a number of people that Hebrews 12, if you want to turn to that, calls a great cloud of witnesses. Now, you could name some people that would fit into that great cloud of witness group, like Abraham, like Joseph, like Moses, but Rahab? Hebrews 11, 29 to 31. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry ground, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Why is Rahab inducted into the Hall of Faith while the two spies were not? Like, I think that's a hard question. Why weren't the two, I mean, they were living by faith, and the report was that we've already conquered this country. God has gone ahead of us. I think some of the influences are that her faith is that she changed sides at a time when that was very risky for her. She changed, in scripture, I think, she changed gods. That was very risky for her to do that at that time. A reason that she's in the Hall of Faith is because she acted against her own people. She was a Canaanite. She was not a Jew. She acted against her own people. Another one is that she could save as many relatives as she wanted, but had to convince them to change sides also. And I get that from scripture when it says, none of you can tell outsiders, or the deal was off. Rahab's faith. So the defeat of Israel was a common knowledge in Jericho, but Rahab acted on what everyone knew. That's faith. What a faith. Hebrews 11 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Did you know that Rahab is included in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus? It talks about Salmon being the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, and goes on down the lineage. They'd be many numbers apart cousins, if you wanted to add all that up. So I know I love happy endings to stories. With God, it isn't who you were that matters, but it's who you are becoming. Some people have a really hard time getting past our past. I'm one of those. I don't know why, and my reference to, is anybody named Rahab? I think that we know what goes with that word, and so we don't use it. There's probably other reasons, but we don't name our children Rahab. You know, God generally helps people's faith to grow by asking them to take a first step. God generally helps people grow in their faith by asking them to take a first step. Like, the loaves and the fishes had to be shared so they could be multiplied, looking at the examples in Scripture. Last Sunday, Gideon had to dwindle his army from 32,000 down to 300. I'm sure to Gideon that didn't make no sense. He had to dwindle them down so that God would deliver them. Peter had to get out of the boat before he could walk on water. It's something Peter had to do. Naaman, he had to wash 7 times in water before his leprosy went away. Rahab had to receive 2 spies. There's something she had to do to grow her faith. I had to think about how we can apply that to our own lives. What are some steps that we need to make or do? You can fill in that question or answer that question. It could be that we need to confess a sin to somebody. It could be that would grow our faith. It could be that there's somebody, and think about this, it could be there's somebody that we aren't intentionally, but it happens this way that we're avoiding. It could be we need to make contact with that person. It could be. It could be that God has gifted you with a gift that you are not using. And so you need to take a step of stepping out of your comfort zone. It could be. So we need to thank God for people of faith. And I do thank God for people of faith that are around us today. And so I thank God for this example in Scripture. And may our faith change, be as life-changing as it was to Rahab. And so God give us grace to do that give us boldness to step out in areas of our lives that would help us grow in our faith. So thank you for our time together. And go now in God's peace, and may God's protection just guard over you this day and whatever you do today and throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.